Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Colin, and I play Kewin de Greymont, a paladin from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric also from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I play Ogvar Shorefoot, a ranger from Keswick.
Hi, my name is Samantha, and I play Elora Greyvale, a sorcerer from Nephalia.
Everyone, just a quick heads up. Due to Yasmin, our lovely DM and editor, having landed an awesome job opportunity in a place far, far away, she would be making a big house move next week. With this on the cards, we will be taking a brief hiatus so that she can get settled in, and therefore there will be no podcast episode release next weekend. However, do not panic. We will, of course, be back wreaking havoc on the airwaves with episode 54 on the weekend of the 10th of September. But for now, the whole crew would like to wish Yasmin huge congratulations, and we shall raise a tankard or two in honour of her achievement in a local tavern. You should all join us. Now, where can we find a tavern that big, I wonder? Now, back to the task at hand. Last time on Secrets of the Silver City, our travellers select a safe overnight rest stop warded by a shrine to Avacyn. After failing to find fireflies and discovering disorientation in the darkness, Rowan remained faithful and rescued Elora from her rather confusing situation. The new day dawned with a sneaky avian adversary for the team to track down before breakfast. A chase across the countryside, some clumsy climbing, and a treetop treasure trove left a couple of the companions and their possessions somewhat broken, battered, and bruised. Episode 53, An Insurmountable Problem.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yes. Is there anything else? What else has come out of the...
Okay. So I'm assuming you're going to kind of scrabble around in the grass looking for what has fallen out of the tree.
Twigs, mainly.
Yes, there was quite a few twigs. And a sorcerer.
No anvils.
Yeah. No anvils, no.
With Acme written on the side of them.
There were no deers stuck in the tree, by the way.
Okay, so you find...
Apart from... what we already got.
You find a dead raven.
Not my one, hopefully.
150 gold pieces.
Is that on top of the ones I've caught?
This is overall, this is what you all found.
Okay.
Bloody hell, how's it stayed in the tree?
And one raven lifted that out.
Yeah.
Super raven.
You can buy me a bloody new compass.
17 silver pieces. And 16 copper pieces.
Who's getting
this? This is just what you find.
Oh, right.
Well,
while you're going.
Yeah, I'm still, yeah.
Sucking air.
I'm still winded.
Yeah. Okay. Kewin, roll me a percentage, please.
33.
You find a small piece of jasper.
Where's the rest of Jasper?
Was that the raven's name?
Spencer, do you want to roll me a D?
He went there.
He's having a prayer.
I'm going around the table. Sharing is caring, okay? Roll me a percentage, please.
No, it's all ours!
Don't tell him about it. 76.
76. You find a pearl? Well, you don't find a pearl.
They find a pearl.
Find a pearl.
Small piece of jasper.
Pearl.
A pearl. Ryan, do you want to roll me it? Percentage. percentage?
I'm still trying to figure out how to spell pearl.
P-E-A-R-L.
Right. Percentage, Ian, was it, Yaz?
Yep, percentage.
Okay. 63.
63. Okay. You find a golden topaz bottle stopper cork.
Golden
topaz.
Get ready to shoot, Wheezy.
Stopper.
Bottle, like a cork, like a bottle topper.
Cork.
Stopper bottle.
Yep. And Elora, roll the percentage.
A 41.
Okay, you're not having that. You're having a silver comb with 3 moonstones inlaid into it. This is what you find.
Okay.
It was either that or a silver-plated steel longsword with jet jewel in hilt, which I don't think you're going to find out.
You can't see a raven carrying that, can you? I mean, that's why
unless it was the size of a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
3 moonstones.
Let's get some
silver comb.
With 3 moonstones.
First, that weird.
In it.
3.
Is that like a hair comb or a comb comb?
It's a
hair comb.
For combing your hair or just
for
decoration?
Holding your hair in place.
For combing your hair.
Oh. And is a moonstone the same as a moonstone shard? Can you chuck the comb into a massive
missile? That's a moon silver shard. Moon silver and moonstone are two different things.
Worth a try though, fella.
It was. It's always the letter in any of these words are clever.
Was there no necklace of fireballs?
You find
it was with the staff of healing, I think you're fine.
You find 1 vial of antitoxin.
He was a busy bird, wasn't he?
How big's his nest?
It was quite a sizable nest. A spyglass. A small spyglass.
Almost a compass.
Have I got one of those?
Spyglass is in a telescope.
Yeah, like a tiny little.
Oh, that would have been a good combo, wouldn't it, Spencer?
It would have been.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's probably how we found all the items.
Sits up there. I don't know why the raven was a pirate.
It is now.
Swashbuckler raven.
Raven's nest rather than the crow's nest.
Okay, and as all these items have come down and hit the floor. So glad I brought that on the table. You won't be glad I rolled that on the table, but I am.
God, what's coming now?
Both Qin and Ogvar, make me a fortitude save, please.
Ooh.
21. 10. And make me another one as well.
That's better. 20.
9.
Okay, so in actuality,
Ogvar, we're on a seesaw, aren't we?
In actuality, Ogvar, your second one didn't matter much because as these objects come tumbling out of the nest, following up behind the rest of everything, which is kind of gone, the last two things to come out.
Bird poo.
They're not bird poo, no.
Bat guano.
And hit. Why would it be bat?
Well, I did send Rowan a.
And the last things to hit the floor are 2 silvery rocks, which go off with a deafening bang. The first one deafens you, Ogvar.
What's that?
Whereas Qin, you're able to kind of cover your hands over your ears in time. The next one which hits the floor, you've just gone, bang. You are both deafened for an hour.
This could be entertaining.
Other than that, you find everything else I've just given you.
Okay. So, at that, I'm going to have picked up the small piece of jasper and a vial of antitoxin and go, look at this.
Saying it or shouting it?
Oh, look at this, Qin.
Today we'll be communicating via the pyre of the eyebrow.
The pyre of the eyebrow.
The power of the eyebrow.
Pardon?
Did you say something?
What?
No, no, not yet.
Allura stands up and she's brushed herself down. She's looking around and she's saying,
okay.
Okay, so what came out the nest then, guys? Guys?
What have you found, Quinn?
What?
Hello? Yes?
What? Guys? Guys, what came out the nest? What came... What's the matter with you two?
But I just thought, is there any sort of witness mark really from the explosion that went off?
No.
Surely, Laura would have heard.
You'd have heard the bangs.
Yes, but I wouldn't necessarily know what.
You wouldn't
their
know they're deafened.
I'm just going to point at my ear holes and go, no sound, no sound.
Laura's like curling her top lip up, wrinkling her nose, and furrowing her brow, looking at him like, this is no time to be playing games, okay? We can do this later. What have you got? Kewin, what are you doing?
Hello!
What's the matter? I'm talking to you.
Gusty!
Alora's like, does she kind of get it now? Does she kind of figure it out?
That's up to you to decide.
Right, okay. Yeah. She's going to point at her ears and say, what's the problem?
Ogvar's going to point at his ears and look, no sound. And like, do that like the cut across his neck. Ears, no sound.
Oh. And I'm going to lean across and point at Kieran and say, you as well?
You? Yes. Can't hear a thing. You?
Right. Have you got everything in your backpacks? I'm pointing at my backpack.
I'm gonna nod and go, yes, huh?
I'm gonna point at Ogvar and say, is everything in your backpack? Pointing at my backpack.
I'm just gonna shake his head. Oh, on the floor.
She's going to motion with her hands like in an upward motion, like, pick it up then.
Make me a performance check.
Oh, God.
And with your arms.
Performance.
T-Rex arms.
Right. That's a nat 20 plus 3.
Yeah, you're very good at communicating this.
Yes.
It's the law of the mind. She's stuck in a box.
Yeah, that's it.
We're just picking everything up.
Yeah, so I'll just pick it up and go, Orland!
Right, I'm going to turn around, lean my hip towards him and say, Orland, do me a favour, open up, will you?
So right. We pull everything in.
Yep, everything's Orland. In. So, right, I'll get a list of that.
We've got it written
down. Yeah, I'll sort it, Danny.
Oi!
I'll
tell you oi, what. Laura!
What's the matter, Orland?
What's up with them?
Oh, apparently when whatever that was that went off bang has made them deafened.
Oi, Kewin! You stink!
Yeah, no, you can insult them as much as you like. They're not going to hear.
Ah, that ruins the fun.
Oh, well, I was quite enjoying it. I got fun out of it.
Well, yeah, okay.
Right.
So where is Murdoch at this point?
Murdoch is kind of perched on a bit of tree near you, and you can see his mouth going up and down, but you can't hear any sound at all.
So I'll just give my signal and he'll just fly back to my shoulder.
Yep. Yeah, he flies back to his shoulder. Yeah.
I'm going to pick up Caddo's, what remains of Caddo's
compass.
Yep. It's mostly all there. It's just like the glass top which just goes over the top has just been broken. It's just been smashed. It's mostly still there.
Okay. Oh dear.
Shame I've no longer got the mending spell.
Guess what I've been praying for?
Right. Rowan, good boy, you did really good there. We're going to go back to the camp now. Come with us.
Yep.
At which point she's going to wave to the boys and turn round and start walking back towards camp.
Okay.
Point at Colin and Miss. I will point at Kuna myself and gesture towards Allura, and we will.
And I'll go, We better follow her. Yes?
Yes, yes. Breakfast will be good.
Okay.
Right, we're going to make our way back to the camp.
Next week.
Alora's just going to keep walking, shaking her head.
Okay. So you arrive back at camp. It's been about 15 minutes. Walk back to the camp. Okay.
So how long have they been gone in total?
About half an hour.
Well, she's going to wave as she walks into camp. Hi, Caro. We're back. Don't bother talking to these two. It all went wrong. Something went bang. I climbed a tree. I fell out of a tree. And they're deafened. I don't know how long for. So it's going to be sign language.
All right, that sounds like a great story. I've got another 20 minutes of praying to do. Esther's making breakfast.
Could you pray for some hearing?
I don't think I've got that one.
Esther, we're back.
Just hello.
They won't be able to
hear.
Hello,
Ogvar.
They can't hear you. They're deafened.
Oh.
There was a big bang. I went up a tree, down a tree. There's a big bang. We got all the stuff back, though.
Oh, wonderful.
Maybe just give them something to eat. That'll keep them quiet for a while.
Ogvar will just wave at Esther because she can see she's talking to him.
She waves back really enthusiastically.
Hello.
Hello.
Right. I'm going to go over to Leopold and say, Leopold, Orlan, could you just stick the ring out for me?
Blech.
Thank you. Right. I'll give it a bit of a shake. And
it's not slimy.
No, I know, but... because it's fallen on the floor and stuff, so give it a bit of shake, give it a bit of a polish on my cloak, and then I'm going to hand it to Leopold and say, there's your stuff.
Ah, excellent. Everything all right? You're all right, boys?
They can't hear anything.
Boys?
They can't hear. No, don't waste your time.
Ah, okay.
You have to try them later.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't go that smoothly, but it was successful.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And your boys, they're short of money. But I'll give back some money to the...
Yeah.
Whatever anybody is missing, basically.
Yeah, they kind of... They take back what they've been missing.
While they're having breakfast, I'm going to return my steel mirror back to where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
And into my belongings, basically, my usable belongings.
Okay. So...
I'm going to walk up to Caddy. I'm going to... Sorry. Came down... from the nest and hit me.
We might be able to get a new glass for that if I can find somebody in a port city. Thank you.
Here you go.
Okay.
So is it just the glass that's broken?
Yeah, it's literally just the glass which is shattered.
So it's still functioning as a compass?
Well, you test it out and it appears to be, yeah.
Oh, that's okay then.
Is Ogvar's tent still up?
Nope. They were getting it down for us.
I think everybody's packing up.
Yeah, Esther went round and packed up people's tents for them.
Okay. Right, I'm going to wave at these two, and I'm going to put my thumbs up and sort of gesticulate. We're going.
Are you?
We're going, aren't we? Are we going, Leopold?
I reckon it's up
are
to
we
Leopold.
Leaving?
Well, you know, he's still got 20 minutes of praying left to
do. Oh, all right. I'll tell you what.
He finishes his 20 minutes of praying.
Mind you, have you not had breakfast yet?
No, because Esther was cooking breakfast.
Yeah, Esther's still cooking.
All right, okay, sorry.
So you finish your 20 minutes of praying, and Esther finishes cooking breakfast. By the time breakfast is just about finished, the two of you are starting to get your hearing back.
That was rather annoying, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. Lost me words.
Yeah, you did.
It's not very good.
Inconvenient.
Most inconvenient.
Well, at least we couldn't hear people moaning at us for a change.
Yes, just going to, are we making a move? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I think we should just, let's get on.
Okay, right.
Yep, okay, and Ogvar will stand up, and forgetting that everyone can actually hear him, he farts quite loudly. you got used to not hearing things up. A bit of shock comes across his face. Oh yes, forgot that one.
Oh, God.
Good luck finding a sound effect for that.
I say, Ogvar, I'm glad you're in the middle and I'm in the front.
Oh well, better open in.
Yes, yes. Sorry, Caddo.
used to it. Leopold, are you ready to get going?
Yeah, all packed up, good to go. Ready when you are.
Okay, so we've all got on.
Yeah. Same, yep, back onto the last ones. Wagon again, yeah.
Yep. And you begin day two of your journey.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, so I suppose we might as well same order.
Alora's just gonna hop onto the back of the last wagon as she does before, with her legs hanging down the back of the behind the wagon.
Is there as much room? Because you said they'd packed them to the gunnels, didn't you?
The carriages are now packed. Where you had this big kind of open space in the middle carriage, that's now been filled in. But you can still sit on like barrels and sacks. There is room to sit.
There's room to sit on the front like we did the first time.
Yeah, nice and tight at the front there. Ben and Ricky.
on the bench seat.
And I'll just... the back of mine, swing your legs,
clank it away.
Okay, so you leave the resting stall.
Is Esther next to me? Is she?
She will be. Yes, she'll be with you. It's looking to be a fairly nice day. Maybe getting a couple of beams of sunlight shining through the cloud cover. Very little wind, very still, very calm, and you make on your way. I believe, Ogvar, you asked Leopold what the oncoming terrain was going to be like.
Yes.
And as the morning kind of rolls by, you are starting to notice that it's getting a bit thicker, there's more trees around, there's more kind of scrubby, brambly bushes, and it's building up into kind of getting towards that foresty area.
Okay.
Looking ahead of you on the road ahead, as far as you can see, past the next carriage forwards, you can see that there appears to be kind of like a more dense grove of trees up and coming, and it looks like it's becoming more forested. These trees themselves, they look fairly, they're quite tall. They look kind of battered and weather-worn. They're bending slightly kind of inland, almost.
Okay.
You are on the coast here, so any coastal breezes, you can maybe say that the wind's kind of blowing them and they've kind of grown, leaning inwards. There are a couple of dead-looking ones, old kind of bleached white, kind of bone-white trees where bits have kind of died. It's not necessarily the healthiest-looking forest. It's not like in Kessig where you've got kind of tall, towering pines and redwoods. But it's kind of more woody. You can tell that, judging by the root structure and everything else, that it's kind of heading towards a thicker knot of trees here. This is getting into like a proper forested area.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is there anything you'd like to do in the morning?
No, not from Alora particularly. She just sat there.
Remind me, who's in our wagon with us?
So you'll be with Ogvar, Jeff and Ricky.
Is it worth us? Who's most likely to be able to tell us about where we'll find fireflies? Because we've got to find some, haven't we? Rather than just wandering off into the dark for them.
Well, they won't be out yet.
No, they won't. But let's engage Jeff in conversation.
Okay.
Jeff, we've been asked to try and find some fireflies while we're on the road.
Fireflies.
Have you ever seen any on this route?
I see them occasionally, you know, flying around at night.
Anywhere in particular? What we need, really, is a large group of them so we can take some rather than picking them up one at a time.
I'd imagine that picking up fireflies is a bit different than picking up girls, but I haven't really had much success with the girls, so I'm not sure about the fireflies, mate.
Okay, well, you're talking to a priest, so I've not had a lot of luck with a girl either, fella.
Oh, I hear the ladies like a man in cloth.
So you've got no advice on fireflies whatsoever?
Nah.
Okay, bimbling around in the dark it is, then.
Okay.
Laura's just enjoying the view out the back of the cart.
Okay.
In their own little world.
So you're looking out the back of the cart?
Mm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just swinging my legs.
Okay.
Looking around.
We've got two more days to sell them off yet, haven't we? So we've got today and tomorrow yet.
Yes. Okay, so your morning passes relatively quietly. You're getting into like kind of a real thicket of trees at the moment. you've probably entered the forest here. The ground's turned kind of spongy and loamy. You can see bits of detritus, leaf litter on the floor. And the trees kind of like arching over this pathway. You can see this pathway where these carriages, obviously this main route here. You can see that it's worn down. There's kind of like a large rut where the ponies don't walk in the middle, which has got a bit of kind of like grass and surface moss growing over the top of it. But it's fairly kind of, it's winding path now. Where you've been travelling in a fairly straight line from point A to point B, it's starting to kind of wind a bit as it's trying to work its way through the trees. You can see maybe there's a couple of points where you can see some fallen kind of logs and broken bits, which you can assume maybe at some point someone's cut some trees down to make the path a bit straighter. It looks like they've been dug up the roots and they've just kind of been thrown to the side here and there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, can I just ask, in Innistrad, are there seasons? So in the different areas, does the vegetation change and are there actually seasons?
Yeah, okay. So common knowledge to all of you would be that Innistrad has three seasons. There's New Moon, Hunter's Moon, and Harvest Moon. These are the kind of like three names for the seasons. So Harvest Moon is effectively Innistrad's autumn. The moon turns into this kind of orange, blood-red hued orb in the sky. The days grow shorter and the weather begins to cool with the passing days. You get the kind of the forest turn kind of like a, you know, go through the green to yellow to orange to brown. It goes through the full colour spectrum of autumnal hues. And they begin to fall in preparation for new growth. Following Harvest Moon comes New Moon. New Moon is what is the closest Innistrad gets to a spring. It's the shortest season within the year. The days are kind of long, the sun is the brightest, and it's commonly associated with kind of new life and birth. You know that babies which were born under the new moon are considered to be kind of holier, and they have a better chance of attaining blessed sleep. And then the Hunter's Moon is effectively winter. The chill never leaves the air, you've got very low sun, and food becomes kind of more scarce at this time of the year. You get a lot more hunting going on, a lot more people venture out into the wilds to scavenge and hunt. And generally kind of coinciding with this kind of people leaving the safety of the cities, this is when you hear that more people have been attacked by creatures and more kind of, there are more kind of werewolf attacks in this time period as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three seasons. It's currently kind of early new moon at the moment. The days are getting longer, but you are just emerging from winter with the shorter days.
So just to be clear, it goes Harvest Moon to Hunter's Moon to New Moon. So it goes autumn to winter to summer.
No.
Yeah.
Should we start getting lighter in the night?
It's getting better at the minute.
Yeah, so you'll start to have a bit more time of usable daytime.
Okay, cool.
Now. Okay.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Laura's just going to take the surroundings in, really. Have a look at the vegetation and the forest that she's travelling through.
Yep.
She's just going to soak in the information that she's gathering from what's around her.
Yep, so, you know, you've got kind of leaves which are still on the floor. It's dead litter. It's brown, crunchy stuff. And you can actually just see maybe a couple of, with a keen eye, you can maybe see a couple of buds on the trees which are looking like they're about to spring into new growth. It's very different from what you're used to in Kessig. Kessig, you've got all these tall, kind of towering pines and redwoods. And in Kessig, it is a sea of autumnal hues. The trees are not green or kind of like dark green. They are hues of orange and red.
All the time.
all the time.
Okay.
It doesn't matter whether it's autumn, winter, or spring, effectively. They are all the time kind of like red and orange colours.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Well, we may as well kill some time by sending Pickle out to do a bit of hunting.
Okay, sending Pickle out to do some hunting. Shall you make me an animal handling check for that one?
Oh, that one, super. Happy days.
That's a way to
get better from here then.
I can think of several songs. It's a good job I'm not a bard right now.
Pickle comes back with a troll.
Comes back with the troll's head from out of the barrel or the sack we put it in, yeah.
Okay, natural. Okay. So you send Pickle out to hunt in the forest. Pickle quite happily yips at you and disappears into kind of like the leaf litter. You see him disappear kind of to the east of you, so going to your right into the kind of thicket of trees and through a bit of a scrubby bush. About 2 minutes after he's disappeared, you hear a yelp.
Do we all hear it?
You all hear this yelp.
Okay.
It's a proper sound of a dog which is kind of a mixture of fear and pain kind of yelp.
Okay.
Are we still travelling on these carts, or have we actually stopped?
No, we're still travelling.
You're still travelling. Right. It is coming. It's coming from ahead of you, but to the right.
Okay.
Well, emotionally for me, Pickle's a family member, so I'm off the cart and away.
Okay. So you're off the cart and away.
Hold the sound. Hold on there, Cuddle. Hold on. I will speak to Murdoch and say, ask him to... Murdoch, can you fly ahead and see if you can find Pickle?
What's Pickle's AC?
Oh god, we haven't had to do much with Pickle's card before. There he is. Mm-hmm. 18.
18, okay.
Good boy, Pickle.
Nice. It's good. It's just not good enough.
What?
Oh no!
What are his hit points?
Oh. 400, that's a lot.
23.
Okay. He's taken 13 points of damage.
Ooh. Oh.
That's smart.
Okay. I'll.
So he was only 2 minutes away, wasn't he? So he's not far away.
He isn't very far away at all. Okay, so you've jumped off, you're immediately running towards
I'm running towards the south.
I'm off and I'm going, Leopold, just stop the cart just there. There's something wrong up ahead.
Right, okay. Ben, stop him. Okay, so you've sent Murdoch off.
Yes.
You want Murdoch to scout what's happening, so make me an animal handling check. What are you doing, Laura?
Laura is jumping up from her seated position and she's just standing on the cart looking forwards. Across the forward towards the other two carts in front of her.
Okay. Anything you want to be doing, or are you just standing?
She is going to. She's going to draw her. Oh no, I lent. No, she's going to draw her bow.
Okay. Yep.
24 on the animal handling check.
24 on the animal handling. Yep. He flies off towards. He's keeping pace with Caddo. You are sprinting.
Oh, I'm Billy Big Steps.
You are sprinting. Okay.
And I'll be following close behind.
Okay.
Yes, Ogvar will be making his way that way as well.
Okay. So Esther's going to stop with the carriages with you, Alora. You three are sprinting ahead towards this sound. It isn't very long before you see rushing towards you, you three, a small... What kind of colour is Pickle?
He's black.
He's black. Yep, you see a small black shape hurtling towards you, kind of limping severely. He's on three legs, hurtling as fast as he can, whimpering and whining, tails tucked well between
the
legs.
When you say he's on three legs, the third leg's there, isn't
it? It's still there, yeah.
Yeah, he's carrying it in his mouth.
No, his third leg is still there. Fourth leg is still there. His fifth leg is still there as well. Yeah.
Okay. You've seen the picture then.
Okay. No, he's running towards you on three legs as fast as he can, severely limping, obviously.
So Ogvar will take out his bow and arrow and just knock an arrow ready and stop running. Just wait for him to come towards us.
And I shall be ready with my... I get a penalty check on my bastard sword at the moment, don't I? Because I haven't got unique... erotic weapons.
Erotic weapons.
Exotic. I haven't got my erotic. I haven't got the erotic weapons feat yet.
And it ran out of batteries anyway.
So I shall be keeping to my with my morning star until such time as I get it.
I'm straight to my dog.
You're straight to your dog. Yeah. You kind of. I'm assuming you're going to crouch down and check Piccolo, but you can see that his one leg is. It looks severely broken.
It looks broken.
It
doesn't look like he's been bitten or anything.
He doesn't look like there's any kind of physical damage. There appears to be no lacerations, no abrasions, cuts or anything like that. But it looks like where the leg's kind of hanging, when you pull his leg very gently, he yips and yelps in pain. But he's not going to bite you because, you know, he's your dog. When you actually look at it, it's like someone's grabbed the bottom part of the leg and the top part of the leg and twisted in opposite directions.
Oh.
Okay. Am I able to tell if he's done that by falling down a rabbit hole or something, or if somebody's done it to him?
Make me a wisdom check.
Oh my lord!
I said it could only get better, and it hasn't.
You lied.
I have been wrong before.
What was it?
That was another one.
That's another nat one, but it's just gone over his shoulder and across the room.
Has it gone into the box? You'll never find it again.
No, it's under the table.
It's probably landed on a nat 20 back there.
Don't look.
If it has, I'll let you have it.
Don't.
I had to look towards the 10.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, no. You are too kind of overwhelmed with checking over the rest of him to kind of, and you know, just looking at this leg thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? You're not thinking about what's caused it at this point. You're thinking about, what am I going to do? Yeah, so you're too kind of distracted and overwhelmed by thinking, okay, he's injured. What am I going to do? Need to do this, need to do that. You're not thinking about what's caused it. Your attention is solely focused on
him. I'm picking my dog up and taking him back to the wagons.
Yep.
That's where my healing kit is.
Yeah, he is kind of whimpering in pain, and it's very pitiful.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to... you take him back. I'm just going to have a look, see if... What did that?
He's broken his leg. I need to heal this. I'll be back in a bit.
Hold on, there, Qin. It's... may not be wise to go ahead if something's done so much hurt to the Pickle already.
What's happening at the front there? I can't see. What's going on?
We do need to bear in mind Pickle is a big dog. So just you're aware, he weighs 68 pounds. So we're not talking a poodle. We're talking mastiff, sort of. So if somebody's done that to his leg, it is...
Has Murdoch come back yet?
Yeah, you can see Murdoch's kind of... perched on a tree near you.
Okay.
He's calling at you. What is his spot check like?
Spot.
Is there a spot check?
Yeah, there will be.
Other party biscuit.
Oh, spot. Yeah. Spot check is a +5.
Okay. Do you want to make me roll for spot for Murdoch?
Okay. That'll be an 8 all in.
Oh, we're doing well this morning, people.
Yeah. Okay. So Murdoch, he's calling gently, but he's not making any specific noises or indicating anything. He's just kind of perched there. Obviously Pickle's there. He's kind of found Pickle. He's not too fussed. He's just kind of perched.
Okay. So I suggest if we're going to proceed, Qin, we proceed with caution.
What's going on up there? I can't see what's going on. What's happening? Anything happening? Guys?
Pickle's broken his leg.
Broken his leg? How the hell has he done that?
Well, Qin and Ogvar are going to see if there's anything up there, because it's the sort of break that, I don't know, he's broken his leg.
Laura's going to get down off the cart at this point and make her way over to Caddo.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to move forward to roughly where the dog entered the forest or come out the forest.
So you haven't come out the forest, you've actually had to go into the forest here.
Okay.
You've made a direct kind of beeline to the northeast. Okay. So you have entered the tree line, you've gone through the trees. So going a bit further, you can make me spot check.
Just queuing or here with this one?
Are you moving with queuing further towards where people came from?
Not side by side, I would have gone slightly out wider, but moving with.
Yeah, okay, you can make me spot
17.
Check. Okay.
15.
15, okay, awesome. Okay, so going further into this forest, where Pickle has emerged from its speed, you can see that there doesn't actually appear to be anything out of place. There's dead leaf litter on the floor, there's kind of bare trees. There's not much which looks off. There doesn't look to be anything that could cause that kind of injury to a dog Pickle's size.
Can I use my track skill to be able to see where Pickle came from, what direction he came from?
Yes. You don't need to roll for that.
Okay.
Because he literally came in a straight line out from where, and you can see where the leaves have been disturbed over the floor. It's very obvious that he has run straight back to out towards you from this area. Okay, so as you enter the this little kind of small clearing, Ogvar, you're approaching from the side. Kewin, you approach from directly in the middle. 15 to hit you.
No.
Okay. From the leaf litter emerges two thick kind of vines which whip out both of them in an attempt to slam into your torso. And they are thick. They are about twice as thick as a man's arm. They are large, large, thick, kind of almost tree root vines. As they try and slam into you, but just swipe past you, not quite in reach. As in front of you, the leaf litter rises up, and you can see various kind of vines and tendrils running through it, through this kind of mass of leaves. It's almost barrel-shaped, and it's got, like, you can very clearly see that it appears to have legs and arms where it is, where it stood. But there doesn't appear to be any kind of head. It's just this kind of writhing mass of tendrils and vines, leaf litter. Leaf litter.
That looks weird. Some sort of living tree.
And you can both roll initiative.
Okay. 7 for Ogvar.
13.
Okay, so first up is Kewin.
Right, well, I'm going to attack it with. I'm going to attack it with my Morning Star, and I'll get the extra first round
D6. Okay.
So. That's
25 will hit.
Cool, that's good to know.
Okay, so that's a D8.
Okay, roll your damage.
That's 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage, okay. So, as your Morning Star strikes, you feel it hit one of these vines, and the texture of these vines, just from hitting it, it feels like, although they're flexible and moving, and they're kind of like this mossy green at the very tips, fading towards a dark brown where they kind of disappear into the leaf litter, they've almost got the texture and hardness of wood, and you feel your Morning Star kind of impact and then dig in as if you're hitting a table with it rather than a creature.
Okay.
But you can see where your Morning Star's left some kind of dinks and marks, and there's some very like kind of thick kind of sap oozing from these fresh cuts you've made into it. Okay, so next up is the Shambler. And it is going to once again attempt to have a slam at you. Two slams. A 28 to hit.
Ooh.
It's a bit tight, but yeah.
Okay.
Twelve points of damage to you. And it's also going to attempt to grapple you with a 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your resistance? You get a chance to resist that, don't you?
No, he doesn't.
Does he
on
not?
This one, no.
Oh.
It just gets right against armor class, is it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with a successful grapple check. Ooh. 12 plus 7.
Oh. 19.
19 points of damage.
Oh. Okay.
As both of its kind of thick trunk like vine arms. They swipe across you, and as each one impacts on you, it curls around and begins to constrict you and squeeze tighter and tighter.
Is this to scale? Is this actually where the wagons are compared to where it's happening?
The wagons are probably further back this way. Probably where this back wagon here, that's probably where the front wagon is.
Okay. Are they within earshot?
Yes, probably, if you make enough noise.
How far back to the wagons did I get with Pickle?
You probably got kind of just breaching the tree line here.
Okay, so I've got a bit of time before I can put him on a wagon and heal him.
Yes.
That being my intent. I can't now change my intent. That's what I told you I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so Ogvar, your turn.
Okay, so the first thing Ogvar is going to do is make a lot of noise and shout to the rest of the wagons. Say, there's a monster in the forest. We may need some help, but keep the wagon safe. So
you can roll me a knowledge nature to see if you know what it is.
Oh, very good. That would be a 12.
Okay. The kind of this kind of amalgamation of vines and dead leaf litter in front of you, it kind of stirs a memory of you think you've heard of something like this before. Not so much as in what it does, but you've heard tales of kind of leaves coming to life and vines coming to life. Perhaps stories which were told to you as a child to try and discourage you from going through the woods and going into the woods. You've heard stories of these kind of creatures. You don't know if they exist. Looking at it now, you'd think that maybe they do.
Mm-hmm.
But other than the fact that, you know, you've heard this before, you're not really sure what it is.
There wouldn't be like a name or anything that would spring.
You can't
to
put a name to it
now. Okay, fine. So, as I've shouted to that, I will now move round 5, 10, 15, 20 feet.
Okay.
To there. Pop that tree back. Do I get line of sight where I am?
Yes,
round
you
that
do.
Tree. Okay.
Yep.
I will fire a single arrow at said planty monster.
Yep, roll to hit.
Okay. That'd be a 13.
13 does not hit.
Okay. That's
your arrow almost goes straight through it, and as the arrow goes through and it leaves a whoosh through, you do get like half an explosion of dead leaf litter almost, which is kind of just out from it. And it's kind of obvious to you from this point that although it has obviously got a main body somewhere, there's so much kind of leaf litter around it, you can't really tell where it is just by looking at it. And obviously the arrow you've shot, which is on target, has just gone through a bunch of leaf litter. Okay, so you shouted loud enough, and everyone by the carriages can hear you.
Okay.
Right, Laura's going to pelt forward, because she's roughly where Caddo is now. She moved up to Caddo.
Yep.
Obviously Caddo's got pickles, she's assessed the situation, not a lot I can do. She's going to belt forward into the forest area. Obviously, she doesn't know what it is. Does she automatically see what it is?
As you kind of approach, you can see that it does look like a writhing mass of leaf litter and vines.
And Kewin.
And Kewin, yes. And
right.
Kewin.
She wants to cast Orb of Acid, lesser.
Okay.
Now I'm casting into combat, so
It is. It's an orb of acid about 2 inches across. So it's a small orb of acid.
Yeah.
But I want to try and target the creature. So do I get a minus for casting into?
You take a -4 penalty.
Okay. I'm going to give it a go.
What?
So it's orb of acid plus dex. So 4. Oh, fuck. 14 minus 4. No, that's a 10.
Yeah, no, that's not going to hit. No, your orb of acid kind of splashes into the ground harmlessly.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and if you want to roll yourself in.
Oh, initiative, right, yep. That's a whole 4. Plus, oh no, hang on. Plus 4, that's 8.
8. What's your dexterity score?
4.
So,
what's Esther doing?
Okay, at this point in time, Esther is going to roll herself into combat. With a... Okay, with 16, Esther is rolling herself in. Okay, so going round to the top of combat, what are you doing?
So I'm happy that I've got him close enough to the wagon, so I'm going to put him down and cast a cure moderate wounds on him.
Okay.
Because that would just be my instinctive reaction.
Yep,
to
so
him before I do anything else. So
roll for it.
Eight plus five. 30.
Yeah.
So that's done. That done.
Yep. Okay. So he gets his hit points back. Is it 13? Is that what you got taken off?
Yeah, what are the chances?
Okay. And then if you want to roll yourself, because I'm assuming you're going to join combat.
I'm going to turn around and start running back.
Yep. Yeah. So if you want to roll yourself into the order.
Do I risk the shitty dice?
Lord of Averages say he's got to be better than the one.
Go for it.
Ah,
what was it?
Now we're back with the game.
Almost.
That would be 20 all in.
Oh, 20 all in. Okay. And Caddo, you're at the top of the order with... There we go.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so next round of combat, we're starting off with Caddo.
Can I put the dog down?
Yep.
how far can I run if I run? So as a standard movement, I can run... 30 feet.
Yep. If you want to take a full round to run, you can double it.
So no, I'm gonna run one lot.
I think you can double your movement.
Yeah, because I can as an option. So on here, as an option 2, I could move 3, but I'm not because I'm gonna do move then standard because I'm gonna cast a spell. So I'm gonna run my 30 foot towards the target.
Okay.
As close as I can get.
Yeah,
and then I'm gonna cast on myself Balor's Nimbus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was
going to
set the leaves on fire.
Okay.
Nice.
So, I am now a human ball of fire.
Oh. Okay. Right, so you're now standing next to Laura. You are burning bright.
And that, as we've discussed before, that doesn't harm any of my equipment, and it only harms things I choose to grapple.
Yes. Okay.
Now, my understanding of that is if I grapple it, that's the only thing that gets harmed.
Well, if it grapples you as well,
Yeah, it gets harmed. So if it's grappling somebody else at the same time, they're fine, because they've not grappled me.
Yes.
Is that the right understanding of it?
Yes.
Yes, okay, good.
So we've now got a forest fire with the fanning trade winds coming in off the sea. Brilliant.
Okay, so next up we have Esther. Esther is running up to join you guys.
Oh, nice.
And... she is going to draw her sword, and that will be it for Esther. Okay, so Kewin.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and get free.
Okay, so you wanted to try and escape, are you?
Yes.
Okay, so make me a grapple check then.
Grapple, so let's add my grapple to the dice.
Yes.
Yep. 16. Not against that. That's true.
Yeah. 24. It's all about grapple, isn't it?
Okay, she's got 24.
Yeah.
You're not winning.
Yep. Nope.
Okay. So...
he's a tree hugger. It's official.
Right, okay, yeah. So you make this grapple check and you can't escape. It's got too much of a grip on you to do it. So next up you have Mound, having hold of you, is going to constrict again. Say 22.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so it's going to slam you and it's going to do 10 points of damage.
Okay.
To you. Okay.
You're still awake.
Just.
Right, so next up is Ogvar.
Okay, Ogvar will. Can you climb that tree?
It would take your full round to do it.
A full round, so I wouldn't be able to attack?
Yes.
Okay, in that case then, I will just move 5, 10, 15, 20 feet to the other side of the tree.
Okay, so you...
can now attack?
Yep, and you will have flanking as well.
So that gives me +2 on my...
+2 to hit.
I will use my rapid shot to take 2 attacks.
Okay.
I roll them individually, don't I?
Yep.
First one is a 27.
Hits.
And the second one is a nat 1.
That's not a hit. No. Okay, so roll the damage for the first one.
Okie dokie. That will be 4 points.
Okay. So the first arrow, you can actually see it buried deep into this mass of leaves now. You see like almost like a shiver run through the leaves, and you hear this kind of rustling sound. The second arrow you go to shoot, you kind of fumble it and the arrow falls to the floor.
Okay.
So next up we have, top of the round, we have Caddo.
I'm going to charge it.
Okay, so you're charging it?
I'm going to charge at it and grab it.
Okay, so you've charged at it and...
Is that an attack? If you grab it, is that an attack on it? I suppose it is.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you get a +2 bonus on the attack roll, but you take a -2 to your AC until the start of your next turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I flanking it by coming at it from that angle?
Yes, you are. Oh,
that's another +2. Excellent. Yeah.
So you've got a +4, -2 on your AC.
Worry about the AC thing if it decides to turn on me. For now, let's just do it.
Okay, so...
No offence, but I hope it does.
Yeah, the whole idea is to get it to let go of you and focus on somebody else. I'm 20 all in.
20 all in. Okay. So yeah, 20 hits.
So I've grabbed it.
Yeah, you've grabbed it. It doesn't get a chance to...
Can I borrow D6, please?
You may.
It doesn't get an attack of opportunity on you because it's busy grappling Cumin. So yeah, roll your damage.
Lots of dice.
Oh, I like in that. That's 10, 20, 25.
25 points of damage.
Boom.
Okay.
And it burst into flames.
Yeah, and I'm on fire, so I'm assuming that sets it on fire.
What are the specifics of the spell?
The flames created by the spell do not harm you or any equipment you carry or wear. Each round the flames deal 6d6 points of fire damage to any creature grappling you or any creature you have grappled on your turn.
Oh, it's fire. Okay, it's fire damage. Okay, so... Right, you do 15 points then. Fire resistance.
Sorry. Oh, bugger.
Okay.
At least it's every turn.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so you jump, you charge up, and you grapple this creature, and as you grapple it, you can see it, you can hear it almost you can hear it and you can feel it judder, and this kind of rustling of leaves and kind of whipping of kind of small vines. You can hear this noise, and you kind of land on it, and although you're doing damage and you can see that some of the leaves which are closest to you are beginning to kind of set alight and crackle and burn, it's less, there's kind of less of an effect that you would be hoping for.
Are the leaves damp?
You don't know.
Right, so the spell loss of 5 rounds, so that's one round done.
So that's one round done of that. Okay. So next up we have Esther. Esther is going to...
Hopefully I've distracted it from you.
Esther is going to move up and she's going to attempt to help Qin escape the grapple. So, you can roll me a... She is going to make an opposed grapple check against it to see if she can get you out.
Okay.
Okay. Blue dice is the creature. With a 17, 18, 19. Okay, with a 22 versus a 14, she isn't able to pull you out. Okay. So next up we have Qin.
Yep, I'm going to try and get out again.
Okay, roll for it. Roll for the opposed.
27.
Yep. Okay, you are able to free yourself.
Free! I don't mind. I've heard of tree huggers. I've never heard of being hugged by a tree before.
Well done, Kieran.
Okay.
Can I disengage?
Disengage is a full round, but you can move. Yes. Moving will provoke an attack of opportunity, and you have still got your free action.
That's what they call a praise sandwich.
So you can either twat it or move back 5 foot and just keep yourself safe.
Yeah, but if I disengage...
He can't attack it because his attack was used up by the grapple. Right, okay.
Yeah, I can... If you can I disengage?
Is there a difference between disengaging and moving 5 foot away?
Moving 5 foot away is considered a free action. A 5 foot step is a free action. So you can just take a step and it won't provoke. Disengaging is a full round action. Yeah.
So I can't do that. No. I'll take 5 foot back.
Yep, okay, so you'll step 5 foot back. Ooh.
It just gets you away from it without... I don't know where actually I say that. I don't know how long these bloody tendril things are.
I'd imagine they're 10 foot.
They are 10 foot long.
I should have known before we even asked the question.
Okay, so next up is the Thingamabob's turn. The Thingamabob. The Thingamabob is going to attempt to... you're grappling it. It's going to attempt to escape from your grapple. So make me a grapple check, please.
Oh, that 20! Hey! Wait.
You are clinging on like a limpet. It's not shaking you.
A limpet.
You're like a barnacle on a
boat. I've earned that. I bloody earned that.
She's like a barnacle on a boat.
Okay, Ogvar, your turn.
As the wagons rolled over the rutted ground, drawing the team ever closer to the city of Selhoff, Caddo sends his hound off hunting. However, it appears that poor Pickle had picked the wrong place to piddle. Our rugged ranger and plucky paladin stride forth into the undergrowth after the assailants unseen. Intent on investigating, they stumble upon the unlikeliest of enemies. Meanwhile, Caddo and the rest of the crew began caring for their unlucky canine companion. Just a quick reminder, folks, join us in 2 weeks' time for the next episode.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Having you as a listener means everything to us. So, whichever streaming service you choose to listen to us with, please give us a like, subscribe, and follow. We would love for you to join us on our Facebook or Twitter page, where you can catch up with all of our latest news. While you're waiting for the next episode of Secrets of the Silver City, why not pop over to our website, where you can read all of the information about this campaign, from backstories to setting. All of the links are in the bio of this episode. Join us again next week for the next instalment. Thank you for listening.